football on off the ball.
Michael Duffy is, he's one of the best players that there has ever been probably in the League of Ireland. And at the moment, I'd say this last 2 years, 3 years even, he's just evergreen.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, I think it's a big, big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off The Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late, late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy. Oh, he does really well.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off The Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off The Ball.
The stacked studio, it must be said, this morning. Darragh Smith-Nocton, good morning to you.
Hi, Adrian.
Eve Conway, you? How's life?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
We'll get to reasons for that in a second. Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Adrian. Yeah, I'm jumping the gun there when you're live talking about the under-20s.
You think you'd be like used to being in a live studio?
Yeah, we've a few Munster backs in the under-20s. That's why I want to talk more about the Ireland under-20s.
Fair enough, yeah.
Josh
against
Neil.
Wales, yeah. And 7 Ulster men to 23 for the weekend.
They're as excited.
Oh, very excited, yeah.
These are the days, lads.
Yeah. These are the days.
I must say, I love a Friday night, which is not what we're getting this weekend, but I absolutely love the Friday night under-20 stuff.
Yeah, brilliant. It's a great warm-up, yeah. Oh. It's backwards this week, but
yeah,
this is a good URC game.
Definitely, yeah.
No love for that.
Yeah, those Friday night games don't tend to be too blockbuster.
Too much guff.
I like the URC, big defender of it, but I take an under-20 Six Nations game every day of the week over.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah.
Not doing the Ireland Wales game tonight. It's on RT, so I'm with Virgin.
Right.
So I'm doing Scotland France tomorrow. Looking forward to that one now because, for obvious reasons, it'll be a big decider. France can win the championship tomorrow, which for any neutrals, I think it'd be pity if it was over after four rounds. But they have been
probably unusual too. If it was,
yeah, they've been the standout team. Well, we all expected England to be in a better position, but
definitely,
pleasantly surprised that with Ireland winning at Twickenham from our point of view. But hopefully Ireland don't slip up against Wales. We'll see what Shane Williams thinks. They've been on such a dreadful run, the Welsh, you know. So it's kind of heartbreaking to see, and just think about the distraction of. I know they won't do it, take their eye off the ball, but it's a tough one. This is kind of like a semi-final scenario for Ireland.
Yeah.
They can't view it that way.
I know.
But you think if they can beat Wales tonight, no matter what France do, it's a triple crown decider next week then, isn't it, against Scotland. So they've got to stay focused and hopefully they can build on what they did in Twickenham, but getting the emotion up to that level won't be.
No,
it's not the same.
Plus, depending on Scotland to beat France as well, has not been an area that has been all that kind to us previously. So
they've been the standout team, haven't they? France, so phenomenal.
We'll give you the papers. What's happening? First of all, we're going to start with the Irish Independent. Feel good mood can be double-edged sword. Kevin Doris, Ireland captain, wants to see his side build on momentum of Twickenham. He says here, Virts return to help Reds plot Wolves' revenge. Writes Chris Wilson, Liverpool manager in the slot at Glenfarium. Virts could be available for a few minutes during their FA Cup tie against Wolves tonight. And a picture there of Pedro Porro flailed on the ground. Feels the brunt of a challenge from Kamada Palace. Time on Tottenham slumped to new low with Palace defeat. There's the photograph there in the back.
He had a bit of a crash out when he got subbed off. Coming off the pitch, throwing water bottles, screaming at people.
Well, he had seen the vast majority of the fans leave the stadium, of course, at that stage.
Yeah. Well, where's that passion when you're on a pitch, though?
That's exactly what I was about to say. I'm sort of sick of players showing emotion once they leave the pitch.
Yeah.
You know?
It's nonsense.
Why was he given out?
Because he got subbed off.
I know, but like,
He was captain, essentially, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had the armband after Mickey van de Ven's sending off. And I suppose perhaps he thought I should be leading this team. But I think performance-wise, yes, had to be subbed off. And then the passion comes out. And similar to Christian Romero perhaps going off on social media, the passion's coming out in the wrong places.
Yeah. Not on the pitch, it turns out. It was like a wild game. The offside nose was possibly the first time I think I've seen mental. That.
Yeah, egregious, really. Frankly, if that happened the other way around, I think that stadium would have been a lot angrier, a lot quicker.
Well, you can score with your nose, so if your nose is... If any bit of your body that you can score with is offside, then you're offside.
It's insane, though. It's so stupid.
But what do you do? Do you say, you can't score with your nose, but you can with your cheek? Oh, sorry, you can't be offside with your nose...
But like, what? Someone that just happens to have a bigger nose than someone else. Like, what do they do about that? Like, it's nonsense. It's crazy.
Well, where do you draw that? I suppose my point is, I totally understand.
Something needs to change.
Saying, but where do you draw the line? I think is kind of the question.
They need to rewrite the rule. It needs to be something to do with your legs or an actual scoring part of your body.
I think it must be, or even the lower half of the body.
Yeah.
Leg over that line. I think if you're leaning, end up leaning a bit like that. But
you know what you're going to do? You're just going to transfer the problem to somebody's fingers offside. Well, you can't score with your finger.
The person is offside should have to be benefiting from being offside. Do you know what I mean? Like, they should have to be gaining something from being offside.
So go on. Where do you draw the line then?
You draw the line from...
I don't know.
Hips down. And if your foot is over ahead of someone else, that's a natural kind of... possible advantage in a sense that if your foot is, even if it's only that much ahead of someone else, there's a chance you're going to be get there quicker than them.
My point is,
leaning over and your shoulder or an arm.
But that won't. Your arm can't be offside.
Sorry, your arm shoulder can. But your nose.
Well, there was the Villa thing, the kneecap from the Villa game the other day.
Yeah,
which demonstrates that all you're going to do is move the problem from to some other.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, in my book, like if VAR is there and the lines are brought in. And that beautiful graphic comes on, it'll be a kneecap.
Has anybody come out with any suggestion that...
Wenger had
Wenger's.
Explain that.
So it's the whole body, isn't it? The whole body has to be offside. And that's a bit extreme for me because then your whole person in front of the defender. But that's being trialled in the Canadian League. Season or next season?
I think it's this coming season.
Yeah, I think they're just starting it. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
But you'll end up with... the exact same problem, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so someone will be like
somebody's
a heel.
And
trialing it in a league that's not as quick or as fast-paced as something like the Premier League is probably... you're not going to get the same kind of results as if you tried it in English football.
Yeah. Every time someone scores, you're kind of going, well,
if it's your team,
you know, was it Liverpool against Forest? Was it a couple of weeks ago? The McAllister one.
Oh, yeah.
The ball came off his elbow. And then Van Dijk, was he onside, offside? Mm-hmm. So those two goals, and I'm a Liverpool fan, so I was kind of like, first I was like, well, I thought the McAllister one, I thought it was off his back, but then when you see the replay, you're like, and then when Van Dijk scores, he looks offside. So for both those goals, I was kind of going,
it
could easily be... ruled out
they could have been, and it was a mad I was going to say it was a mad game. It was a mad 10 minutes probably just around that.
It was I was getting many texts from people just are you okay? The answer was no.
I'm not.
But a very chaotic, in a way, it's that sort of 5 minutes encapsulated a lot of Tottenham's season so far, which is a lot of bad luck, perhaps a lot of things going wrong. But also
being shit doesn't...
No, yeah, exactly. Help. Also not having the quality to make things happen.
Yeah.
Why Tottenham, though? You're a Tottenham fan.
Yeah, it's not by choice. This is my family team.
Oh, it's a family scenario.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of Tottenham fans out there, actually. You meet them.
They are, yeah.
Dreadful time.
The nose offside, Solanke turns it in, and you're like, this is the moment that Tottenham season turns around.
It's great
and
goals,
then you blink, and Van de Ven... Was it it felt like as if it was in a minute. Van de Ven is doing something really stupid with pulling, was it Sarr down when there was actually really no need for it.
There was no need for it. And considering this was the final game of Romero's suspension after he got a red card wearing the armband, for the captain of this team to commit a stupid foul, a really brain dead foul, to give away a penalty when you are leading your club in a really tense relegation battle. I think the atmosphere in the stadium switched completely at that moment.
Yeah.
Because this is a player who was so vital to that Europa League win last season, who has been hugely missed when he has been sidelined because of consistent hamstring injuries, who has been one of Tottenham's most consistent players over the past 2 or 3 years. And to let down a team like that, I think that's in the stadium when the atmosphere just completely switched. No more goodwill from that Solanke goal.
It felt like desperation. It felt like not the sort of thing that would have happened.
I think you've you don't even have a split second there.
I think if Tottenham are flying and they're in good form and there's a bit of sanity about the place, you just don't see it happening.
But obviously, if the biggest killer is going down to 10 men.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, Eve, if they equalise there, but it's just a reaction thing in sport where you kind of just, it's so quick it happens. He just grabs the arm. If he lets him go, you know, does he score? Will the keeper, when you look back at it, obviously he would think, God, I should have let him off, but it's just a reaction thing, really. And that's the big punishment, is the whatever about the equaliser, because at least if you have the 11 men, you say, right, okay, let's go again and we'll try and get another goal. And but that was the killer for him. And Palace just pulled them apart, didn't they?
Palace are very good, to be fair.
Very good.
Probably not too difficult to go up against.
Adam Morton's
a great player. He's
outstanding. Two assists for the goals. Brilliant passes.
Fantastic. Yeah. Delicate.
Cahir O'Leary in the comments there. Can someone do a welfare check on Bobby? Bobby, of course, our resident Spurs fan in the comments. I think he's floating around there, but yeah, tough morning for all the Spurs fans out there.
He's booked flights for the Spurs Forest game.
There you go.
So, good luck, Bobby.
We do have a video of Igor Tudor talking in the aftermath of it all. A very strange interview by all accounts, if you want to play it here.
After this game, I believe even more than before. Maybe it sounds strange, but is it? I saw something in the team. I saw that there's something even now in the dressing room after the game.
On the red card, Van de Ven's been so consistent and good for this team. Do you think that's anything to do with the pressure from outside, the pressure of this game that causes him to make that decision?
We need to stop to speak about pressure. This is not the topic to speak about. But
do you not feel as if there is pressure now, 1 point above relegation, it's not... I knew you knew this job was going to be difficult, but does that not come with pressure?
Not speak anymore about pressure.
Okay, thank you.
Grand, but sure, that's fine then.
Mad, isn't it? Like,
well, it
honestly,
is a bit mad.
He sounds like someone who's under pressure.
The two sides to it are, number one, he's saying he sees something in the dressing room after the game or during the game or whatever the hell he saw, because the vast majority of fans who were, I don't know if stream is exactly the right word, but certainly leaking out of the stadium even before halftime kicked in. I saw them actually heading up the steps, you know, deep into added time at the end of the first half, and I thought, oh, maybe they're... Could we be very generous here and suggest they're off for a meat pie and a pint or something like that?
Into the toilet
or something, They were headed out of there. Anyway, he sees something last night that gives him hope. He must be the only one. And fair play to him, I suppose he has to be, given the job that he's in.
Yeah.
And then the refusal to talk about pressure is...
What's that about, Adrian? Like, teams that are even winning, there's pressure there. There's pressure to perform. There's pressure...
You have to address it, though, if you get asked about
home.
It, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
You can't,
it's
just
crazy.
Ignore it.
There's absolutely... horrendous pressure on that club and all the players, and you know, you can kind of make this assumption that they've made a decision that let's not talk about pressure because that brings pressure, and if we avoid the comment or the word,
it shows a lack of charisma for me, I have to say.
I don't know, like, I know this guy came from
Italian football.
I never heard of him before, and it's not to say that I'm a connoisseur of football, but I thought that was not Sam Allardyce, but a Sam Allardyce job for someone in the UK who was...
steadied the ship.
Steadied the ship.
You mentioned Sean Dyche earlier.
Sean Dyche earlier, but more and more the people I chat to are coming around to the conclusion that what you needed was a Spurs man in there. Someone like a Ryan Mason, like a Tim Sherwood, even though it wouldn't be ideal, but somebody who knows the club or at least knows the Premier League, which is where someone like a Dyche would come in.
Whatever about who the right person would have been. And again, we've, unless there's another change and they stay up, someone to try and build a bit of morale. And but these, you know,
that's why the likes of someone like a Ryan Mason would be such a different approach to Igor Tudor. There was, you know, yeah. Mason's young, he still knows a lot of people, he was only coaching there last year. He would have brought kind of good vibes, quote unquote.
Whereas you need Igor a vibes man, like, yeah.
Yeah, whereas Igor Tudor seems to be this, you know, big, I'm going to bait the head off you and I'm going to shout at you because you're all crap. But the thing is, that Spurs team have so many injuries that the 11 that's on the pitch at any given match, a lot of them are playing slightly out of position. A lot of them are very young.
Yeah.
And I think for a team as young, as vulnerable, and as, despite the fact that I don't want to mention it, under as much pressure as they are, I do not think they're responding to this kind of harder style of management.
No.
Considering the best player on Tottenham's pitch last night was Archie Gray, who is 19 years old, has been playing out of position for practically his entire tenure at Spurs. It's clear that something is not working when the rest of these professionals cannot respond to what the manager's saying.
They were also sent out onto the pitch 5 minutes before the halftime break was up. Like, the commentary team suggesting that, you know, they were just effed out of it and told, get out of my sight and get back onto the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for a group of adults, as low as things are, given all sort of modern intelligence that we know about sport and the value of a halftime talk and getting your couple of points across, like, hoofing them back out onto the pitch, Phil Brown style, and saying,
grading,
get on with it.
Especially hoofing them back onto the pitch at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which has not been a good place for Spurs the past kind of 18 months. I would even say since White Hart Lane was demolished, it's not been the kind of, it's a fantastic stadium. I've been there once or twice a year since it's kind of 2019, since it's been opened.
Yeah.
And it's not been the kind of fortress that I think Daniel Levy had wanted it to be, that the Spurs hierarchy would want it to be.
No.
And especially this past year, trying to grind out any results.
Maybe.
Where are the wins coming from for them to stay up? So their next, obviously their away to
Madrid in the Champions League.
Their away to Liverpool Sunday week. I'm a Liverpool fan. It's like something that will happen. That
They're falling over each other, the two of them at the minute.
Mm. Yeah, they'll try their best to outdo each other with rubbish performance. Someone will look. I don't know. So they're away to Liverpool. Their next league game, then they're home to Forest on the 22nd of March.
Classic relegation 6-pointer. That's a huge game.
They're home to Forest, so at least is it better be at home or better be right?
Better
right,
be away.
Okay, so that's not a good one from Forest.
Is it too nice an experience
away to Sunderland
for away teams? Like, are they coming into that stadium a bit too comfortable?
Do you know what I mean? That's a really good point to bring up. My read on it is watching Adam Wharton last night, right? And I think that a lot of teams are thinking this at the minute. They're playing Tottenham. He looks like as if he had 10 minutes on the ball to pick out those two passes.
Yeah.
And in his head, he's probably going, lads, it's Tottenham. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No pressure on the ball. I've all the time in the world here. I'm going to play this ball into Sarr. Most likely they'll be at 6s and 7s back there and it'll be all good. Like, it feels like, and looking at them across the board, thanks Quinny, if we go off air now in a minute, everybody will understand, we'll be all good. But yeah, that bit of like, it feels like how crap Tottenham are has given the opposition massive confidence.
Yeah, completely.
As much as anything.
I feel like even during the years when Tottenham were consistently good, perhaps under Pochettino, you know, when you're challenging not only for the league but for your reaching cup finals and everything like that, there still was that kind of sarcastic Spursy, you know, anything can happen if you go to Tottenham to play. But now teams are so unafraid to come to play an away game at Tottenham, and Tottenham have this psychological barrier now where they know that their home record is so bad that even trying to grind out a win is they really clearly struggle with it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's that psychological weakness as well that is leaving them wholly unprepared for a relegation battle. If they can't even mention that they're under pressure.
It's wild.
Is there any of these games that they've lost that they were unlucky and should have won? And is it bad luck or are they playing crap all the time?
I sat down here in the studio in around November time and I think we were looking ahead to a Spurs-Chelsea game. And I said, oh, I'm really not feeling confident. Spurs really aren't playing well. And I was asked, oh, you know, well, still early in the season and Spurs have picked up a few points here and there. Chelsea aren't that well. But unless you're watching Tottenham week in, week out, I don't think people realise how bad it's been for how long.
Okay.
It's been, yes, there are severe injuries.
So this isn't an unlucky run scenario where they're in games and they should be, could have won them.
There have been unlucky moments, certainly. Right. There's been a few refereeing decisions that I know Tottenham fans are unhappy with, a few kind of goals given against us that were given against Tottenham that were kind of ruled out the other way. But this has been a downward trajectory. People will say, you know, Tottenham finished 17th last year. Yes, they won the Europa League. How do you go from finishing top four consistently and really challenging in Europe to suddenly sliding down the table, finishing 17th last season, and then finishing potentially in the relegation zone?
Yeah, I don't know enough about it, but is it down to ownership, leadership, player recruitment? What is this? Is this?
It's basically, yes, it's all
everything.
I see Tottenham people online saying, "Oh, the club needs to be sold," and Daniel Levy did X amount of damage, and the recruitment has been horrendous. I thought they signed some good players in the last year or two, but then the injuries are probably killing them as well.
The thing is, for a long time, Tottenham could be as poor as they wanted to be in the transfer window. They could scrape as many results as they wanted out of nothing because Harry Kane was there. I think there's a lack of acknowledgement to the fact that when Mauricio Pochettino came to Tottenham around 2014, Tottenham happened to, at that exact moment, spawn one of the greatest British strikers of all time out of their academy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pochettino went 18 months without being able to sign a player in a transfer window because they were building this new stadium. So it was this accumulation of a journey where Harry Kane was doing damage control for a team that was not building properly, that was putting all the money and all the resources into external things outside of the football pitch. And I think they're realizing the consequences of that now.
I just mentioned one thing before we head off. What I did love about the game yesterday was the fact that they had a camera angle for outside the stadium when fans were leaving.
They always have that on emergency, don't they?
Oh, but it was so quick though. It was so quick. As soon as it was happening.
I've mentioned he says before, that with a bit of a smirk on his face.
Obviously.
I've mentioned before I was at the Brentford Tottenham game on New Year's Day. It was nil all, and I'm not surprised particularly that Tottenham are in the position they're in. Vicario getting booked with 20 minutes to go for time wasting when it was nil all was all you need to know about Tottenham season. Eve, we might come back to your grief a little bit later on if that's all right, because we do have other matters to get to and we haven't got anywhere near through the papers, but we'll do all that in a little bit as well. But right now it is time for the cash machine.